person here this morning that we wouldn't linger very long, but you just never know how it's going to go when I get up here, because, you know, I've reviewed this thing a few times, and I know kind of how long it's going to take, so it's either going to take half that time or twice the time, but I'm going to try to make sure it doesn't take twice the time. Zach read a scripture for us in Ephesians 6. That's kind of where we're going to be if you want to turn there. We're going to stick there mainly. I've got a couple other verses, but just in case you read the family news, you saw the cover, it says Jesus in the Old Testament, Leviticus. That's not what we're going to be talking about. But hey, this is something to look forward to. I've been appreciating these lessons about Jesus in the Old Testament, so we'll look forward to that next week, possibly. An announcement I didn't get to, Will. I'll try to be quick on this. I had a few people ask me about Quentin Courtney's foster baby, Damon. Yes, Damon, not Damien. You don't want to know. Got a checkup this last week, was doing well at the checkup, but then yesterday had to take him to the ER, having trouble keeping food down. Now he's at St. Francis, and they're still trying to figure stuff out. So 5 weeks old, poor little guy. We'll keep him in your prayers. Okay. Boy, Will, I'm glad you turned that AC on. My hands are cold, but the rest of me's not. So that's good. Okay. So when I say hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, you don't have to raise your hands, but when I say hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, is that familiar to anybody? Is it, you know, can you just think that phrase and you know right where it is? You know, I can, some phrases in the scriptures, you know, I can get you pretty close. If somebody says it, I can say, well, that's in that book or that's here or that's there, you know. But this one, I got to be honest with you, somebody says hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That didn't give me enough to go on. But so credit to Chris McCurley. He does a podcast called Dear Church, and they were talking about this stuff, talking about spiritual warfare, talking about the full armor of God. So credit to him for giving me the idea. Did I steal a few things maybe from the guy he was talking with? Maybe. But are there ever any original ideas? So let's get in it. Host of wickedness in heavenly places. So that's in Ephesians 6. So let's read verse 13. We'll start there. We'll kind of start in the middle and work our way back around. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So some of you know me well enough to know that when I see the word therefore, that tells me, well, you got to back up. Hopefully that tells all of us we got to back up. So therefore, he says, take up the whole armor of God. Well, we're going to back up a little bit and see if we can figure out why he's saying take up the whole armor of God. Spiritual warfare, you know. I'm not sure it's something that we think about a whole lot, right? I mean, it might pass our mind every once in a while. We might think about physical wars. Some of you folks in the congregation here fought in physical wars, you know. You served this country well, and we appreciate that. And so that's kind of where we're talking about this morning is spiritual warfare. Let's read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. This is from the, much to one of my son's chagrin, New King James Version. So it's not, well, it's not up on the screen anyway, so it doesn't matter. Ephesians 6, 10 says, finally, brethren. So this is the last chapter in Ephesians that Paul is writing this letter to Ephesus. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That was the verse that Zach read for us. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. You have to pardon me sometimes. So I use the New American Standard Version for years and years and years and years. And sometimes my brain still wants to read the verses out of it, even though I'm seeing the words out of a different version. So that's okay. So when my family worshiped in Tahlequah South College, the teen room there had a guy standing in a suit of armor there. You know, you could see the whole suit of armor there, kind of like from King Arthur and his court, you know, the whole suit of armor there standing there. It was from these verses, and they were all the different parts and pieces were labeled like the scriptures here. And I thought that was a good thing for the teenagers to kind of help remind them about the whole armor of God. So that's a good thing. And one of the things that the fellow in the podcast brought up is that sometimes we take these verses in Ephesians 6 and make it a child story. You know, like one of my pet peeves is a lot of folks want to take the story of Noah's Ark and make it a child story. I'm not sure why you want to have the destruction of the entire earth and mankind, except for the few in the ark, be a child story. I don't know. But same way here. Maybe you've kind of seen some of the same things. You know, it's a good story with props, right? So the helmet of salvation could be a Burger King crown, right? Easy to get for something like VBS, right? Maybe the shield of faith, a trash can lid, easy, you know, so a good prop. Maybe the sword of the Spirit there, a paint stick sword, you know, so you can kind of see those things. And those are easy things, but is it really a child story, or is it a lot more serious than that? So that's the question we asked this morning. And the next question we'll ask is, do we see ourselves in a spiritual battle? Is our focus more on the physical or the spiritual? And I can only speak for myself. My focus, a lot of times, most of the time, is on the physical. We are physical beings, right? What we know is the physical world. We know work, we know our bodies, we know family, we know sleep, we know all these things. Not quite familiar with spiritual battles. So it's easy for us to dwell on the physical things. I tell people all the time, I don't like to do things that I'm not good at. So maybe that's one of the reasons why I focus more on physical things and not spiritual things. But we're going to get into this and basically just go through this verse by verse and see what the scriptures have to tell us about spiritual battle. So we'll go back to verse 11. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word wiles, that's a word I've heard my whole life. I don't know that I ever really understood what it meant. But wiles, if you look it up in a dictionary, it says that it's a strategy or a trick to deceive. So Satan, he's out there to deceive us, right? We know, we're studying through Genesis in the adult class on Sunday morning there in the smaller class. And that's what Satan did with Adam and Eve, right? He deceived them, right? And so we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves against Satan's strategy to trick us. So there's the first thing. We might ask ourselves, does Satan have power? One of the few other scriptures we'll turn to this morning, and we're not going to read a whole lot here, is from the book of Job. Does Satan have power? Well, we know the story here. It says that God and other beings, including Satan, were there together and talking about it. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Well, we know how it turns out. You know, Satan accuses Job of only being loyal to God because God protects him. And it turns out here, Job 1 verse 12 says, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. God telling Satan, all that he has is in your power. Don't lay hand on his person. So it says Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And then we have a series of verses here. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But basically, it says fire comes down from heaven and great winds. And there are the Sabians come and raid, and also the Chaldeans come and raid. And basically in this, through Satan's power, he has influenced people and he influenced nature to destroy and take away everything Job had. All he had left then was his person and his wife, we know. His children were all gone. All of his flocks were gone. All of his herds were gone. So does Satan have power? Yes. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. So we're going to put on the whole armor of God to help protect ourselves from Satan's strategy to trick us or deceive us. Verse 12. See if I can get back to verse 12. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So that's key here, I think, to seeing the rest of this verse, maybe how it should be seen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And then he says, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There's that phrase again, hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So kind of how I had to break this verse down was like this. If we don't battle against flesh and blood, I'm not a English person here, so I can break sentences down, but I had to read it like this. We war against the principalities of darkness of this age. We war against the powers of darkness in this age. We war against the rulers of darkness in this age. So I kind of put darkness in this age and applied all those things to that. So that's what we're up against. And then he ends that by saying the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So, you know, our battle isn't against the person at work that frustrates us daily, although we have to deal with that, don't we? Our battle isn't against an opposing political party, right? Our battle isn't against ideas in this physical world. It says our battle is spiritual here. So we need to be focused on those things. And he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God and how we can fight off Satan by doing that. So if all this is true, that this is who we battle against, then what do we do? Well, good thing Paul writing to the Ephesians here, he tells us. So verse 14 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we got the first two parts of the armor here. And if I was really good, you'd have pictures up here on the screen that had these parts of the armor here. You're just going to have to use your imagination. Verse 14. So, stand having girded your waist with truth. Girded. There's another word. We just don't use that word a lot, do we? But surround. That's basically what it means. To gird ourselves would be to surround ourselves with truth. Okay? So, if we're going to surround ourselves with truth, how do we do that? So we surround ourselves with different things, don't we? We have things coming into us all different ways. I'm going to be honest with you, not anymore, but previously I was a monstrously political creature. I listened to a particular political pundit for 3 hours a day every day for a lot of years. And it was just time wasted. Now I see that, and then I didn't see that as wasted. But I'm speaking for myself. I was surrounding myself with that, you know. Instead of surrounding myself with truth, I was surrounding myself with that. We can spend our day listening to music, and it can be good and it can be bad. What do we have that influences us daily? What do we spend our time doing? That's what we surround ourselves with. So then if we're going to surround ourselves with truth, we do that with God's word, right? We can do that by what we're doing here this morning. We're worshiping God Almighty. And in doing that, we're trying to strengthen each other, encourage each other. Okay? We can do that with spiritual songs. We've done that here this morning. We can do that outside of these services, listen to spiritual songs. My preference is songs that are without instrumental music when I listen to. That way I don't kind of skew the lines there. But that's just me. Boy, in today's age, we have access to so much stuff. There are podcasts. There are YouTube videos. We can surround ourselves with scriptural things easily. You know, it doesn't have to be preaching. It doesn't have to be a Sunday school lesson. It can be just somebody discussing spiritual warfare on a podcast. So, things like that. The next thing it says in verse 14 is having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So that's going to protect our core, right? So we know that people in the military, they're big about protecting their core. People in law enforcement today, they wear plates and such things to help protect their core. Now, nobody wants to have their arm injured or their leg injured or things like that, but a lot of times you can recover from those things, but you don't protect your core and you may not recover from that. So verse 14, we're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our core. We don't want our vitals getting damaged. It's kind of the thought process there. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I should have looked at other versions to see if other versions use something different for that word preparation of the gospel of peace. But I had never quite read it like that before. So we are supposed to be people of the gospel. We're supposed to be people of the word. We're supposed to know what the gospel is, the whole truth of the gospel. But this is the preparation of the gospel. So be prepared maybe to go to the right places. This is talking about our feet. Know what the gospel is. Have that gospel hidden in our heart and be prepared to go to the right places. Maybe even be prepared to use it. I was thinking about, you know, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Maybe those things are kind of things that can help lead us in the right direction in spiritual warfare. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Starts out by saying above all. Tells me that maybe the shield of faith is pretty important. More important than the other things we've talked about or that we're going to talk about? Maybe not, but he does say above all. So if you think about the shield in ancient warfare, that was a pretty important thing, right? That shield, you could use it against swords, you could use it against arrows, you could use it against javelins, you could use it. They're not talking about it here. I've seen shields used kind of somewhat offensively, you know, at times. But the shield of faith is what we're talking about here. So we are able to have faith, even as young children, faith believing in God, faith believing that Jesus came and died for our sins, right? So we have that faith, and that's kind of our first line of defense. Can things get around it? Things can get around our faith. We're not always as strong in our faith as we should be, but that's why we've got these other parts of the armor here with us. We have faith, like I said, as children, but it should grow. It should grow incrementally as we get older, as we get more mature, and hopefully that shield will get bigger and it'll get thicker and we can use it better in our spiritual warfare. He says, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So does that mean that Satan throws things at us? Does he throw things at us on a daily basis? He does. He throws things at us that we are aware of. And I think he throws some things at us that we may not be paying attention to. Maybe like I wasn't paying attention to what I was surrounding myself with day in and day out for hours every day. So he does work on us daily. He works on people who are trying to follow God, because people who aren't trying to follow God, he's already got them. He doesn't have to work on them, right? Okay, Verse 17 has a couple things there. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. So that's what I'm going to say about that. That's close to our brain. It's our thinking part. And we are supposed to know that we have salvation, right? We are supposed to be able to know that we have forgiveness of sins and that we are right in God's sight. You know, some in the church want to kind of guide and point us in the direction that, you know, every day we could be on the verge of losing our salvation. I don't think that's the way we want to live, right? We want to live like it talks about here with that helmet of salvation, knowing that we have that forgiveness. And this is the other scripture we'll look at here this morning, is 1 John 5:1-5. 1 John 5:1-5 says, Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now we know that there are other things besides believing, because if we believe, we know that we're going to confess Christ. We know that if we believe that Jesus is God's Son, that we want to be baptized into his death and raised to walk like he was raised. But we've got that helmet of salvation. We can know that we are in the right in God's sight, because when he sees us, he sees our sins through that lens of Jesus the Christ who died for our sins. Also in verse 17, talks about the sword of the Spirit. And this is the one that actually defines, which is the word of God. So the sword, it's an offensive tool. We've all heard that. We use God's word to help us in our spiritual battles. We don't want to use God's word as a mallet to pound other people on the head that don't necessarily believe the same way we believe. That's not what it's talking about. But in our spiritual battles, we want to use it as an offensive tool. And we'll all remember that when Jesus was tempted, recorded in Matthew 4, that he used the words, "It is written." Jesus knew God's word, and he used it against Satan. Good example. We're supposed to do the same. Verse 18. So we've talked about all of the different parts of the armor, but here Paul isn't finished giving encouraging words to the Ephesians about things that they should do. There's another thing that we can do, and verse 18 talks about it. It says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray for the small things. We're supposed to pray for the large things. Wednesday night in class here in this room, we were talking about how some of the people of the land that the Israelites were coming in to overtake, that they were kind of tricked them and kind of came to them and said, "We're from a long way off, you know, can you make a treaty with us?" Joshua was leading the Israelites at that time, and the scriptures tell us that they didn't go consult God. They didn't talk to God about it, and that was a problem. They didn't pray to the Lord. They didn't ask him. They didn't consult him and see what they should have done in this situation. We don't know because they didn't ask, but we know it didn't turn out well for them, that they were... They had to go to a battle to defend these people, and there was lots of things that didn't work out well for them there. But we made the comment in class that, you know, pray about small things, pray about large things. One of the previous verses, when we were talking about the shield of faith, it says to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, when we're on our way to work in the morning, it'd be a good idea to pray about those fiery darts, about those things that we know Satan is going to hurl at us. be a good thing to pray about those things that maybe we don't even realize that are going to happen that day that God can help us with. And he also talks about praying not only for ourselves, but for each other. He says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, so stay at it, and supplication for all the saints. So we pray for each other. We pray for each other in good times and bad times, for our health, for our spiritual welfare, for all these things. So that's pretty much it. You may be sitting here this morning and thinking, well, I don't know if I've ever put on the whole armor of God, you know. I don't know if I've ever seen Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that I've ever confessed him before men. I've never put him on and clothed myself with Christ in the waters of baptism. Well, we're going to sing an invitation song here in a few minutes, and this is an opportunity for that. Maybe you've never turned your life over to God, and we have that opportunity this morning. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I need to do better in some of these areas. So you can come forward and ask for prayers of the church, or you can sit right where you're at and you can pray and you can think about that and ask the Lord to help you commit to doing better. You can find one of us afterwards. You can talk to us. We can talk to each other and lean on each other and pray for each other. But we always offer an invitation, and we're going to do that now. And so if you have any needs, come forward as we stand and sing.